Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hey, guys.
Each week, we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an inside and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode 33 is being brought to you by Georgia Veterinary Associates, once again from beautiful
Lawrenceville, Georgia.
Fall is here today, finally.
Fall is among us. You think today's the first day, really?
Well, what we talked about this a few weeks ago. When was the first official day of fall? Do you remember?
September 23rd.
So, yeah, it's been super hot here, and the weather cooled down a little bit, but I think this morning, coming into work, it was 45 degrees, so definitely, to me, finally felt like fall. It's dark in the morning coming into work, the leaves are falling, so, yeah, I mean, to me, that's kind of the way it felt.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, like, yesterday was kind of fall-ish as well. It got up to, like, 80 degrees or so, but in the late afternoon, like, 4 or 5 o'clock, it definitely cooled down.
Cooled down, yeah.
The wind was blowing. It smelled crisp outside. It was very fall as well.
Dr. Hines made the comment today at lunch that this is why she doesn't live in Florida, because she loves days like today, that it was beautiful. So,
I guess in down there, it's just one season all the time.
Yeah, I think so. That's what my friend Mark Scribano has kind of implied. You know, he goes fishing every day, I think. But, yeah, I don't know if it's... I mean, obviously they don't have a winter, but you would think they would have a little bit of a spring and a fall, but...
Maybe. Maybe sometimes it's like it is here in Georgia, where our seasons happen throughout the day rather than months, right? Like, you could wake up and it could be winter outside, and then... Yeah. Late afternoon, it turns fall, and then you've got summer and all that in one day.
All right. So, is there anything from last episode? We've quit recapping, which I think is good.
Yeah. Just last episode.
Any business that we need to take care of there?
Only thing I would suggest is, if it's confusing for people, episode 28 and 32 were combined. And that's kind of just the clarification that we need to put out there, is that... We had pre-recorded episode 28 while the video crew was here.
Right.
We were unable to publish it. And so we published that bit of recorded episode 28 within our episode 32.
Right. And so, we skipped from 27 to 29 because that was in between.
And right.
That kind of confused me when you were explaining to me a couple of weeks ago, but it makes perfect sense now. So this week was National Veterinary Technician Week.
Right. So the third week in October every year, the industry kind of dedicates to veterinary technicians. And the way that I understood it, you know, when I first became a technician, was the fact that it's really to kind of get some awareness out for what technicians do in the practice. And then hopefully to kind of find people who are interested in being a technician so that we can continue to grow the profession. I thought it was interesting. Today we went to the Gwinnett Tech College, the Gwinnett Technical College here. They have a veterinary technician program. There was a career fair, and one of the guys, it's a very female dominated class, just like now in vet school as well, right? So there were three guys in the first year class, and I think, I don't know, somewhere around 20 to 30 total students. And so I asked one of the guys, you know, what it was about coming into veterinary profession, and I don't really know where I'm going with all of this.
Well, the you're talking about the last guy that came up to the table, who was previously military.
Mm-hmm.
And you did ask him why he chose the animal technician, veterinary technician field.
Right. So that's what he, exactly, that's where I was going. Sorry, I totally lost my train of thought there for a second. So that's exactly. And he was like, well, I didn't know this was a profession until I found out that it was. And I like animals and I like medicine. And so why not pursue the kind of the best of both?
And he said, I don't really like people. I understand animals have to have owners. But yeah, I don't really want to work on people as patients, is what I heard him to say.
Yeah. So that was an interesting part of his perspective as well. He'll figure it out that there's a lot of people involvement.
More than he would think, for sure.
Yeah. But the thing that I found the most interesting is that he realized, and he wasn't a young guy, he was probably late 20s. He realized that, you know, becoming a veterinary technician was a true career path or a profession that he could choose. And I think still a lot of people don't realize that. People I still run into on a daily, well, not necessarily daily, but on a routine basis will ask me, well, when are you going to go to vet school? Like, yeah. When are you going to just finish it all? You know what I mean? And
right.
It's somewhat insulting in a way, because like, you don't ask a nurse when you're in the doctor's office, well, when are you going to get your doctorate?
Right. And I think that's a very good comparison, an RN. And it's not exactly right on, but mm-hmm. I think in generally speaking, that's the best comparison I can think of.
Well, same thing. You don't ask your dental hygienist, like, are you going to complete your
when
education?
Are you going to dental school?
Right. And so I always kind of find that to be interesting.
So side note, so growing up, after getting out of vet school in Texas and working in a mixed animal practice, I ran across a couple of handfuls of people that in conversation, they would ask me like, what's it take to make a vet? And I'm like,
gosh.
I'm looking at them like, what are you talking about to make a vet? You know, it takes a man and what, you know, I'm just thinking like you have to be conceived and then born. And, but you know, they were asking, you know, to have this job, what do you got to do? Do you got to go to school? And so people, I guess my point there is people are all over the place. Obviously,
oh, sure.
You know, it is, yes, you have to have a little bit of grade school education, a little bit of higher education. And, you know, to make a vet, it's kind of difficult to quote unquote make a vet. But I don't know, that just kind of reminded me of a couple of previous clients that asked me that.
Well, you guys as veterinarians do also kind of get like a shady, I guess. It's like frowned upon. Like you're
shady?
You're not like a real doctor.
So
right?
That's where I was thinking. Not shady. Like shady to me is like we're pulling something over on people.
I don't mean shady. I mean like shaded. Like somebody else stands above you and casts a shadow. That's what I meant by like shaded. Like
okay.
Veterinarians are shaded upon by real doctors, because I mean oftentimes personally, from what I've experienced, is that people will be like, oh, you must have got to vet school because you couldn't make it to med school.
Yeah, no, it's just kind of the opposite.
It's kind of the opposite, yeah, but it's interesting. I do think that that's definitely the perception.
There's another sidetrack story. When we first opened the hospital, actually, we weren't even supposed to be seeing patients, I don't think, but a friend of a friend in my neighborhood had a dog that needed some attention. And I don't remember what the exact situation was, but we brought the dog into the hospital. We treated it. We charged for what we did. The person in the neighborhood absolutely threw a fit, like, oh my gosh, $140 for a abscess or a bite wound or a whatever. And he threw a fit. I probably had to refund his money or something, just trying to keep the peace. And then ultimately, for some reason, they came back to the hospital and I gave them a tour and walked him back, you know, from the front exam rooms back into the treatment area. And I'll never forget the comment. He's like, wow, this is like a real hospital. I'm like, yeah, dude. I'm thinking, yes, you know, this is not the free clinic.
Right.
We're not a mobile unit running around, you know, just giving shots. We have expenses. We have
right.
people that work here. So anyway, we have totally gone off topic on
yeah,
tech
but it's,
week.
It all does kind of stay in the same, right? The perception of people is that it's very different than what actually happens. And
yeah.
So I do think that that's what Tech Week kind of was derived from. Now we just kind of take it as like a free pass to, I guess, overindulge.
Yeah. Yeah. So lots of food this week. Lots of people have brought and bought things for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we have chosen to celebrate our entire staff during National Veterinary Technician Week, because there's
right.
not a National Veterinarian Week, or, you know, Patient Care Attendant Week or Receptionist Week.
Right.
So we do tend to treat the entire staff, but we also try to do a little something, you know, a little something special for the technicians on staff as well.
Sure.
So we had... What? We've had donuts. We've had edible arrangement on one day. We've had pizza. We've had more
biscuits.
Donuts and more donuts and more donuts and cinnamon rolls.
We had biscuits today, and we had ice cream cake and,
yeah, and
candy.
So, And then I think
muffins,
you for the last day, you provided a nice little gift bag, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the True Texon staff, and
correct.
So that's kind of where we have distinguished, you know, food for everyone, but a couple of special gifts for the
right.
for the technicians,
individualized gifts for sure.
So anyway, it's been good. I have to tell you, I was looking at DVM 360 this afternoon, and kind of looking for some stories to talk about. And they had listed 10 veterinary technicians who basically exemplify what it means to be a tech.
Mm-hmm.
And I started clicking on them, and some of these people I've never seen, I've never heard of, and they had stories that were so crazy. I actually thought you might have been one of those because of winning the American Humane Award, but that really hasn't been out enough.
I think I walked up when you were reading this, and Steven Seitel was in there.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of people I've seen somewhere, but I'm going to digress and go a little negative. A lot of the people that are influencing our industry, from veterinarians to speakers at conferences to evidently, in my opinion now, technicians, really have no idea what it's like to be on the front lines working in a practice. And so, you know, you've kind of accepted, I think, I was going to say the challenge, I haven't challenged you, but you have decided that you want to be an advocate, I think, for veterinary technicians and kind of get the true word out there. And maybe I'm misspeaking for you, but I'm kind of feeling the same way for veterinarians, you know, thinking about joining some boards and trying to be a little more involved, because we're really the ones on the front lines and we should be influencing the industry, not people who either don't have a clue or
they stopped practicing, you know, decades ago.
They're doing this for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
So
some of those people, I mean, I didn't read that article, but like Steven Seitel, he is very well known. He's a technician somewhere out west, Arizona, California, Utah, something like that. And he is specialized in anesthesia and critical care. And so he does speak quite a bit. He's helped write quite a few books. He actually is trying to get he's Asian of some descent, but he's trying to get veterinary technicians recognized in Japan, which currently they aren't.
Okay.
So for sure he is, but I didn't see the rest of the people on there, but you're absolutely right. There are definitely industry leaders who are
on the speaking
bureaucrats.
Circuit.
Yeah,
and there's actually a whole organization for people on the speaking circuit, which makes sense, I guess, but my simple mind doesn't think that way.
Right.
So
you would just think that you have a great story to tell and people want to hear it.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily true. Anyways, I think that's interesting that they wrote that and picked out those 10 technicians. You know, kudos to them. A lot of them actually are very international. Canada has a really big...
there were a couple from the UK in the end. And I got very disinterested as I was reading it and just kind of skimmed it and looked at their pictures. And, you know, this one's in a surgical practice. This one's in the UK. This one's in the UK. I don't know.
So the technicians in the UK, they have a veterinary nurse designation. And so I think a lot of technicians here in the States, those that are involved in organizations, are really trying to befriend those UK technicians because they're considered BVNs, like they have a bachelor's of veterinary nursing.
Oh, that's cool.
And so it is interesting, but it definitely kind of all ties back to who you know.
Yes,
doesn't
indeed.
Mean they're the
your,
most qualified.
Your connections for sure. You had, I think, on the list to talk about what else? We're going to talk about the weekend event?
I just wanted to talk about some of the things we're going to be doing in the next couple of weeks. One thing I think we did miss is Boss's Day was yesterday.
Yeah, I got tons of gifts and kudos and accolades. So definitely, it was yesterday.
Yeah, so everyone was very appreciative of all the work that you do. That's great. I was told happy belated Boss's Day today by one of our techs. I thought that was very sweet.
Oh, you're the boss, huh?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I think for a lot of them, they're from what I understand, they don't know what to give you. And so I thought that was interesting. She was like, we just didn't know. And okay, so rather cool. than do something, they did nothing. So.
I don't need accolades, really. I mean,
That's the same thing I said. I said the same thing to them, that it just continue working and enjoy your job, and that's appreciation enough.
Yeah, that's enough. I would totally agree. Fundraiser.
Yeah, so beating a dead horse here, right? But we have definitely talked about the American Humane Hero Dog Awards, and that I am the 2019 Hero Vet Nurse recipient.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Sherry K. Hill, who has nominated me with Silver Comet Animal Welfare Alliance, but she has put forth a lot of effort into putting a fundraiser together and a watch party, essentially. So she wants to help raise money for the CARE Fund and for Silver Comet. And then obviously get people excited about the show or the viewing on Hallmark Channel. So she put together a fundraiser at Dave & Buster's in Lawrenceville on Monday night, which we can't pick the day because that's when the show airs.
Right.
At 8 p.m. So we're going to open the doors at 6:45, kind of get everyone dinner. We have a bunch of things there for raffle. She has a couple of people, I guess, lined up to speak and just say a few words about animal welfare in the state of Georgia. Dr. Miller, I think she has allotted some time for you to speak.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Who's going to speak? Who else? Do you know who the other speakers are going to be?
There's, I guess, someone that's involved with the Best Friends Sanctuary here locally in Georgia. They just published a bunch of, I guess, data in regards to where Georgia falls in animal welfare and kill rates and that kind of thing. As we've talked about on this podcast in weeks before, a lot of states and cities are going kill-free or no-kill. And so I do think that the people in Georgia who are definitely out there for the animal welfare are really going to strive for that. But I don't know. I think that's a huge undertaking. And so I do think that Best Friend Sanctuary will be there, or a Best Friend organization, however they kind
they're
of...
They're out in Utah, is that correct?
Somewhere
out west.
Yeah, somewhere. I'm not
they're
quite
the
sure.
the biggest shelter, whatever you call it, organization that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
So very cool. So yeah, that's great. So along those lines, there was a story I read that actually started back in May. An elderly lady passed away and in her will requested that her pet be euthanized and buried with her.
Have we talked about this before on the podcast? Because I know I've asked you about this before.
This has been a topic between you and I and me and other people. I don't think we've talked about it. And so, of course, I had to read. I'm like, okay, because there's going to probably be leftists and rightists, and there's going to be the in-betweens.
Sure.
And so there was evidently, this was DVM Magazine again, I think. They got a ton of responses. So again, back in May, and they're just now publishing some of the responses, and they only published maybe 5, 6, 7, or 8 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple of, they were RVTs that I recall, that basically said, how dare that lady dictate that her pet be euthanized? I'm always going to be the pet's advocate. You know, that is so wrong. Why in the world would she be so selfish? There were maybe one or two responses like that. The other, so the majority of the responses were, we don't know the circumstances,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, we don't know the signalment, the age, the breed, the health status of the pet. We don't know what the family members can and can't do. We don't
right.
know the bond between the pet and the owner. We don't really know how the pet would react or act after the owner's passing, because some pets absolutely get depressed and act differently. It is her pet. Right. I mean, it's a human animal bond, but it's her pet.
Yeah, we're still kind of working on that whole property versus not property situation, right? So, like, I know New York kind of went there earlier this year with some court stuff, and I don't have any outcomes of that, but certainly right now pets are considered property. So, yes, yeah. She owns it.
Our closing tagline, and remember, without people,
right.
pets are simply
animals.
Animals. So I kind of go, so the majority of the people that they at least published kind of had that thought process. We shouldn't judge. it's not necessarily right, but it's certainly not necessarily wrong. And I guess that's kind of where I fall there. I mean, again, we don't know the whole situation. And so we have to assume that that pet owner made the best decision that she felt like she could. And so the other aspect, so what jogged me to talk about this now was a lot of the people that responded cited the fact that there are so many shelter animals that are homeless, you know, that don't have a forever home or whatever phrase you want to put in there. And so why do we have to not humanely put this pet to sleep to be with its owner, you know, in the grave? What would happen to that pet? We don't know if that pet would be happy moving forward. So it's human nature. It's human emotion, human thought process. But I just, the story kind of surprised me because I thought really the veterinary industry was going to take up for the pet and be the pet's advocate. Mm-hmm. And I was actually very happy to read their take on it.
But they really did, even at that, because the pet's future is unknown.
Is unknown, yeah. Yeah.
And so I think they just tried to point out all sides of the story.
Like, yeah, but it was a little more heavily weighted the way I think about it. So I just thought that was interesting, rather. Yeah. We do have Paw Fest coming up this weekend.
Right on Saturday.
Which is in Lawrenceville. So tell our huge audience what that's about.
So Paw Fest, so this is supposed to be like an event that happened last May, but because of the weather, it got postponed. And so they rescheduled, and also there's some construction going on in downtown Lawrenceville. So it's a little bit out of the square. It is from 10 to 4, and we were asked to go to help vaccinate on a low cost, I guess, spectrum to kind of help get the public pets vaccinated.
Yeah. And is Drew going to be there to help? Did I overhear that?
Yeah. So Anna, Drew, Natalie, and Heather have all kind of said that they will be there for some period of time.
Okay, cool.
I don't know truly what that looks like, but yeah, Drew is the only one who has kind of volunteered to be there all day with us.
All right, that's cool. Yep. I didn't realize that many people were going. So along those lines, that is something I'm kind of becoming really interested in giving back to the community.
Sure.
And I feel like you and I have talked about it a couple of times. I know when we were at the AHA meeting in Indy, talking with the guy from Puerto Rico that we wanted go and maybe bring a team over there to help out. And he was not too keen on that for this reason and that reason. Mm-hmm. But I do think, you know, locally here in Gwinnett County, even trying to organize something down in, you know, maybe Metro Atlanta, some of these other areas, once or twice a year, just to go down and try to help, I guess just give back. We've been very fortunate to have a very successful hospital and business. You know, we're fortunate that we have all the people that work for us, and we just keep thriving. And so that's I'm kind of at that point that I want to give back. So hopefully this will be a kind of a start to something a little bit bigger.
And to be honest, I mean, I've worked here for 9.5, almost 10 years. And so as far as I know, we've always given back, whether it be like with working with rescues and that kind of thing. So this will be the first of this kind.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that, that's important to say, like, you've always kind of given back. It's just the first time that we've given back in this manner.
Yeah, but I want to do this and this. I'm not sure how successful this will be. We'll charge a nominal fee, but actually, to me, giving back is free. And that's kind of what I'm more interested in doing moving forward. So one story last week that I ran across that I just wanted to kind of actually two, but I'm just going to talk about one. One story was breed age at spay linked to urinary incontinence, that's a risk. And so basically the story brought up the fact that when dogs, not cats, are spayed at the recommended early age of anywhere between 4 to really 10, 12 months, mm-hmm. There is a very small percentage of those dogs that will become urinary incontinent, meaning when they are resting and relaxed, they will leak urine, typically while sleeping. And We typically do kind of a minimal workup with them to make sure there's not another problem with their urinary tract, and then we diagnose what we call spay incontinence, which is really an estrogen-dependent incontinence. And so
that's what I was going to say, because a lot of times you'll hear people say, like, oh, my dog got spayed yesterday and now she's bleeding. But really there's no direct connection between the ureters and the urethra
right.
and the uterus, which
right.
you've removed.
Right.
And so I just want you to make sure that we don't confuse people.
So you're saying, oh, you're talking about the, okay, you said bleeding up because I'm looking at you like, what are you talking about?
People oftentimes feel like that you,
yeah.
you alter something in the urine tract.
Yeah. So we take out the ovaries and, you don't have to take out the uterine body, the uterine horns. We typically still do that if we're doing an open abdomen spay.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're doing lap spays, laparoscopic spays, we're just taking out the ovaries and leaving the uterine horns there. What you're talking about is there's a connection from the kidney to the bladder, and that connection is the ureter.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't get anywhere near that. That dumps into the urinary bladder. We're talking urinary system versus reproductive system.
Right. But what I'm saying is that I think a lot of people get very confused on them because they're kind of in the same region. And that's what I wanted to say. You talked estrogen, spay incontinence. I just wanted to make sure that we definitely hit home on that.
But the bleeding would be if you are removing the uterus at the level, you know, right around the cervix, sometimes, yes, you'll get a little bit of hemorrhage that goes into the vaginal cavity. And as the pet urinates, as urine washes through the vaginal cavity, you'll see a little bit of blood. And that's usually just a one-time occurrence.
Right.
So what I'm talking about is we do remove the ovaries, which is the source of estrogen. And in a very small percentage of pets, dogs only, they will become urinary incontinent.
And later in life, yes.
Later in life, but typically within the first 2 years of life. And so we don't broadcast that. You know, we don't really talk about that as a super negative, because this study says about 3% of female dogs. I think that's probably a little high. I would say 1% or less.
Mm-hmm.
But when it happens, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, we kind of work them up. We diagnose the fact that they're incontinent, we figure out they were spayed at a, you know, relatively early age, and then we are left with either putting them on an estrogen supplement to get that back. In their diet, it's basically a supplement that we give them ultimately once a week, typically, and that gives them enough estrogen to make their urethra have enough tone to keep them from leaking urine. So we're getting really technical here. But, so the other option would be to give a twice-a-day medication called phenylpropanolamine for the rest of their life. So I like to go the easy way and do the estrogen, because that's the whole, you know, cause of the problem. So actually, Donna Schlosser called me this week, 2 days ago, and had a dog, and she just wanted to kind of run that by me. So Donna Schlosser is an excellent doodle breeder who used to live here in the Gwinnett, not, well, used to be in Gwinnett County. Actually, that's not coming, and then moved to Lake Lanier and now lives in Florida. So anyway, that's the whole tieback relevancy. So was that clear?
Did you just say relevancy?
I did. So compliancy,
relevancy,
inside joke. Okay. So I think let's wrap it up.
Okay. Well, make sure to check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. Follow all the clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And check out our blogs and our website at mygavet.com. And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, guys.